Good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. Tonight's shiur is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas, Rabbi Chaim Ber Abraham, Rabbi Arbisfeld, Zochen Lebracha, who passed away a few months ago. Last night was the wedding of his grandson. His grandson married a girl from a very fine Fruma Mishpacha, and chaval that the Zeda wasn't able to participate in the wedding. This season of the year, we recite Slichas. Last night in the yeshiva, they have a lot of the minhagim of the Gra in Rab Chaim Volozhiner, because Yeshiva University originally started as a combination of two yeshivas from the Lower East Side. One was Yeshiva Seitz Chaim, that was named after Volozhin. The other one was Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan, because that was founded within the year after Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan passed away. So there are many minhagim in the yeshiva that are based on minhagim from Volozhin, which are minhagim from the Gra. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner and the Gra were both opposed to asking anything of the malachim. You shouldn't ask them for brachas. You shouldn't ask them to daven for us. Last night, Slicha Yud is the pizmon for the third day of Slichas, for Tuesday. So it starts off, Malach Rachmim, Chalan Apnei Kel, that we asked the Malachim to pray for us. So in the yeshiva, they left out the first stanza. They started from the second stanza. Ulai Rachim Sheris Yosef. They didn't say it. We don't ask the Malachim. It's based on the Mishnah in Megillah, and the Mishnah is in Brachas as well, where the Mishnah says, Haimei Baruch Hu Chatoivim, Mishaskim also, that you're not permitted to mention like that. What do you mean, Yivaruch Hu Chatoivim? So the Rishonim have six different interpretations in the Mishnah. So the Meiri has all of the six. Rashi has two Pshatim. Rashi has one Pshat. Only Tzadikim have the right to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and people who are not Tzadikim shouldn't recite any brachas. I mean, Yivaruch Hu Chatoivim. Then he has another Pshat. One is only obligated to bench if he ate Kidei Sviya. If he didn't eat Kedei Sviya, then he shouldn't bench. That's Minat Torah. You only have to bench if he ate Kedei Sviya. If he didn't have Kedei Sviya, you have to bench Midei Rabbanan. But one of the additional pshatim that the Miri quotes is, Hamei Baruchucha Toivim, means the good angels should bless you. You're not allowed to ask the angels to give a bracha to anybody. We don't ask them to daven for us, and we don't ask them to bless us. And on Friday night, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner was opposed to saying, you don't ask the malachim for blessings. From the four stanzas, he left out, he only said three out of the four stanzas. So in the yeshiva, the meaning is that the Chassam Sofer also has a tshuva, is it right or not to say, at the end of the slichah, say, machnis rachmim, the malachim should present our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chassam Sofer says, at the end, the people are rushing to finish, so a lot of people don't, they don't say everything anyway, because you want to finish on time before the chazan says the kaddish tiskabel. The Chassam Sofer says that he personally can people hear me? Are people able to hear the shiur?
Yes, Rabbi, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. So the Chassam Sofer writes that he personally would leave out the Machnis Erachim at the end of the davening also. This season of the year, the minig is in Shulchan Aruch, the minig by us is that we blow Shofar starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Rosh Hashanah. The purpose of the Tekiah Shofar is to make a hachroze, to announce that Rosh Hashanah is coming and everybody should prepare. The purpose of Tekiah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is to enhance the davening. That's why we blow shofar in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz. You don't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. You shake a lulav in the middle of Hallel, because that enhances the Hallel. It's based on the Pasuk, Goes to Yerushalmi. Shaking a lulav in the middle of Hallel is based on the Pasuk, Goes Yeradonu Kalat Sayor. Not only Los Lover, Moisam Mashiach, when the whole world will accept Malchus HaKadosh Baruch, and not only will the Jewish people praise HaKadosh Baruch, and not only will all the nations of the world, even the trees, all of nature will dance. Ozirana Kalat Sayor will dance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So shaking a lulav in the middle of the halal doesn't constitute a hefsek, because it blends in to be part of the halal. Similarly, blowing shofar in the middle of Hazaras Hashatz Musa blends in. It's part of the tefillah. It enhances the tefillah, elevates it to the level of tzaka. It's tefillah be'estar because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, so you have to be more serious in the davening. There's a chiyuv tefillah deraisa then. So that's why we blow shofar in the middle of the davening. But blowing shofar in the Chodesh Elul, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, is just the hachrozah, so that Rosh Hashanah is coming. We should all start preparing. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik said in Europe, the minhag was that they blew shofar at the end of the whole davening of shachris, not after the Shir Shal Yom, before you say L'dobet Hashem Oiri. In America, he says the minhag changed, but he said in Europe, he remembers that the minhag always, why you say, you blow shofar after the Dovid Hashemar, after the whole davening was all over. There was a rabbi who went to learn, there was a whole group of Americans who went to learn in European yeshivas, like Rabbi Gifter and others. So one of these rabbanim, who lived in Baltimore for many years, wrote a whole book in English, interesting book, that's called Minhag Elita. So he writes that he thinks it's a mistake in America. He says he remembers in Europe and tells the yeshiva they would blow shofar after the davening shemar, after the whole davening is over. You don't blow shofar in the middle of the davening. On Rosh Hashanah, you blow in the middle of the davening because it enhances the davening. It's an integral part of the davening, but not Chodesh Elul. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, many people have a meaning that everybody goes to mikveh. What is that all about? So the Rosh in the end of Maseches Yuma has a suggestion that maybe it's a din d'araisa chayvadim l'taratzma beregel. Bagasar is very unhappy about that. If you look in the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheita, if you look in the Shari Tshuva, the end of Chelekei, in the Mishnah Berurah, so he quotes the Shagasari. Chai vodam taratzma beregel only makes sense bismancha besamigdusha yekaim, and everybody has to enter into the Azara. So you have to be Torah in order to be able to enter the Azara. But bismancha in besamigdush kaimo and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there is no aliyah l'regel. So it doesn't apply. But the Rosh writes like that. The Rosh quotes Rav Sadia Goin that when you go to mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur, you say, Bracha shekadishonah b'mitzvah sov. It's Ivano ala tefila. We don't follow that, Rav Sadigon. We don't say a bracha, but many people do have the meaning that they go to mikveh. So the Rosh understood the Rav Sadigon that it's based on chayvarim taratzma beregel. So the Achrenim explained what he must have understood was that's based on a pasuk in Chumash, chayvarim taratzma beregel. So apparently he understood that it's not necessarily connecting with aliyah leregel because you have to be tohar to enter the Azara. It's a different word. Shabbos has the highest level of Kedusha. So when we experience Shabbos, even if a person is in a state of Tumah, the Kedusha of Shabbos will have a wonderful effect on it. But Yontif, even Yom Kippur, has a lower level of Kedusha. So we can only absorb the effect, the experience of observing Yontif if we'll be in a state of Tahara. So everybody has to go to Mikveh before Yomim Tovim, in order to be mekabel, in order to be able to receive the effect of the Kedusha Sayyam. It then has to be a kosher mikveh. You can't just have a mikveh for men. There's a Takana Sezra that before a person learns and before a person wants to daven, if he's a balkari or if the woman is a polet to shichva zera, so then they have to go to mikveh. So the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us that Takanas Ezra was Nizbatel in the days of the Tanoim with respect to learning. And the Tanoim quoted the Pasuk, Halakot Dvari Ko Esh Niyum Hashem, the Dibre Torah are like Esh, Ma Esh Eni Mekabel Tumah, Dibre Torah not Mekabelim Tumah. So if it's not Mekabel Tumah, so you don't have to go to mikveh. So the Gemara only explains why the Takanas Ezra was abolished with respect to Talmud Torah. What about with respect to davening? Did they abolish it there too? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam writes explicitly that in heaven they'll testify that he personally always goes to mikveh before he davens. He still observes Takanas Ezra as far as davening is concerned. But he says, mikveh din, you don't have to, because it was one big Takanas Ezra, Balkari shouldn't learn, shouldn't daven. So once the Tanaim abolished it with respect to learning, so it was abolished legama, even with respect to davening. But the Rosh quotes that the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. We don't have any Hasagas or Ravid there, but apparently there are a lot of times that the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he doesn't always, we don't always have a Hasaga on the side. So the Rosh in Brachas quotes that the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, holds that it's not correct, that Mikra Din Takana says is still betokfa, still binding with respect to davening. So that's why a lot of Hasidim will go to mikveh before they daven, because of that Ravid Shita. So although the Misnagdim don't observe this all year long, so with respect to an Aseres Mechuba, we have here and there we have a few chumras. We are careful not to eat paspalter. We're machmer not to be matman food on Erev Yom Kippur, to eat it on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So we introduce a few chumras. So this is one of the many chumras that, although all year long we're maker like the Rambam, that Mikra Din, there's no need for Tvilas Balkeri with respect to davening, because it was one big takana. Once the takana was abolished with respect to learning, so it was this battle with respect to davening as well. But as Haris made sure, we machmel lekabed Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Gemara said beferish that for the purpose of takana Ezra, that a balkeri has to go to mikveh, maim shuvim would be good. So that's what we're making on that. We're not machma for the opinion of the Rosh, that the Rosh understood the Rav Sadie going, that it's a din deraisa, chai vadim la taratzma beregel, applies even to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then you would need a kosher mikveh if it's a real din deraisa. Or some understand, Rabbi Yeruchim Perla was a businessman in Europe 100 years ago, and he wrote this long commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos for Rav Sadie Goen. Sadie Goen wrote a long poem which contains all the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Rishonim had, they used to call it Azharis. They used to rattle off on Shavuos, and on other occasions, they would rattle off all the Taryag Mitzvahs. Rav Sadie Goen wrote a long poem. So this Rabbi Yeruchim Perla wrote three big fat volumes explaining what is the Shita Rav Sadie Goen, which mitzvahs did he count, which mitzvahs did he not count. So he understands the Rav Sadie Goen, not like the Rosh, not that Chayavadam Taratzma Beregel even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He understands that the Rav Sadie Goen, Chayavadam Taratzma Beregel, is like the Shagas Aryeh said. It's only on Sholosh Regalim, and there's a mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel to enter the Azara. And it doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh, no one's entering the Azara. We're all Tamei Mesim anyway. So what is going to help? Going to go to Mikveh to take off Tumas Balkari, but we're going to be Tamei Mesim anyway. The Rav Sadie Goen only said it on Erev Yom Kippur, and it's based on the Pasuk in Chumash Lifnei Hashem Titoru. And the Rav Sadie Goen, that's what Rabbi Yeruchim Perla suggests. The Rav Sadie Goen understood Pshutap Shal Mikra, Poshup Shat and Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem, as Yom Kippur is about to enter on Erev Yom Kippur late in the afternoon, Titoru, we should purify ourselves, we should go to the mikveh. So there he says, you say a bracha, Asher Kedishanah B'Sot Tzitzvana, Ala Tfilah, that's a mitzvah min haTorah. Sadie Goen wouldn't say it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. The way the Rosh understood, the Pshat and Rav Sadie Goen was Chai Vodim Tarasma Beregel, not only applies to Sholosh Regalim, even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to Shabbos. That's what the Achrenim say. Shabbos, the Kedusha Sayyam, is so powerful, it'll have a positive effect on us, even if we're in a state of Tumah. But the Yamim Tovim, including Yom Kippur, a lower level of Kedusha, so that will only have a good effect if we go to Mikveh in advance. But we don't follow the Rosh's version of Rav Sadie Goen. We don't follow Rabbi Yeruchim Perla's version. We're not makbid that it should be a kosher and Mikveh. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Maharil, the Magen Avraham quotes it from the Maharil, that is really only an Aseres Mechuba where Machme for the Shitos Haravid, that Takana Ezra is still Bimkoi Maimedes with respect to davening. So that's why the Gemara says, if it's too difficult to be Tovel in a Mikveh, the second best is you can have somebody pour Tisha Kabin of water on the person's head, on his body. And so that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And Diane Weiss from the Eidah Haredes wrote many volumes of Chuvas Minchas Yitzchak. So in one of his Chuvas he writes, the din requires that the Tisha Kabin should be Mikoyach Gavra. So we assume when you turn on the faucet for the shower, if you stand under the shower for a few minutes, that's going to be more than Tisha Gavra, way more than Tisha Gavra. And turning on the faucet, that's also considered Koyach Gavra. So this can take the place of Tvila in a mikveh. So today, a lot of people are concerned. You're going to have 150 people, 150 men going to the same mikveh. We're concerned that someone may have some germs or some disease that will transmit to someone else. So rather than have 150 people go to the same mikveh, so you have everybody take a shower. So the Tisha Kabin can take the place of the tefillah in the mikveh. That's what's recommended. I remember, when was it? About 40 years ago. 40 years ago, when When I was a student in the yeshiva, they didn't yet have the system set up that everybody goes to learn Eretz Yisrael a year or two or three in between high school and college. That began after my time. So when it first started, so the girls also went to Eretz Yisrael. So when the girls went to Eretz Yisrael, to the girls' seminary, so they found that it says in the Matei Ephraim that the minig is that on Erev Yom Kippur, even the single girls also go to mikveh. So on Erev Yom Kippur, the single girls came to the mikveh and they said they want to use the mikveh. And the mikveh lady said she never heard of this. They never had such a thing. There was a new thing. The girls were learning Matei Ephraim. So the mikveh lady on the Lower East Side called Rav Moshe. He said, we don't have that minig that it says in the Matei Ephraim that even the single girls, we don't allow a woman to go to mikveh if we're afraid that she's going to use the mikveh to sin. A single girl, what is she going to mikveh for? So if there really is such a legitimate, if there is such a minig, Erev Yom Kippur, everybody goes to mikveh, okay. But Rav Moshe said, we don't have that minig and we don't allow single girls to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have to bench licht. Every Shabbos Yontov, we bench licht. Erev Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says it depends on the minig ha-mokim, the perek mokim shenogim, m'sochim. But Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, we bench licht. So many women have the practice that they bench licht on Leil Yonta when the husband comes back from shul. On Shabbos, he can't bench licht at night because it's a malacha, but on Yontev, that the tzorech achal nefesh is mutter. So many have the practice that they bench licht when the husband comes home. So Rav Soloveitchik followed that opinion that that's not right, that more correct is that even on Erev Yontev, even though it would be permissible to light the candles on Leil Yontev, but more correct is to light on Erev Yontev, because the Rambam writes that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos, two in Chumash, Zocha v'Shomer. Shomer means to be Hashem on Shabbos, not to do Malacha. And Zocha means to recite Kiddush. And Shnaim Shenisparsha Adei HaNevim, Kibud v'Yoinik, that the Nobi Yeshaya says, the Karas of the Shabbos, Yoinik, L'Kadosh Hashem Mechuba. So the four mitzvahs on Shabbos, the two in the Chumash, Zocha v'Shomer, and the two in Sefer Yeshaya, Kibud v'Yoinik, the Rambam writes, all four carry over to Yontif. That's how the Rambam writes. The Beis Halevi and others point out that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is kemat explicit in more than one place that Kibbutz V'Yoinik only applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yontif. But Farfalim, somehow the Rambam won. And more meforsim is the Rambam's opinion that Kibbutz V'Yoinik applies to Yontif as well. So what exactly is Kibbutz and what is Onig? So the Rav Soloveitchik was found according to Bir Hagron Hilchas Yontif. Hilchas Shabbos, he doesn't write anything. Hilchas Yontav, he writes it. The kibud refers to all the hachonis that are done in advance of Shabbos. And oineg means the pleasure that we have on Shabbos. Let's say you vacuum the rug, and you set up the cholent, and you take a shower, and you set the table. So that's all kibud. And then on Shabbos, when you eat the cholent, and when you enjoy the fact that the house is clean, and you enjoy the fact that you're wearing big day Shabbos, it gives you a better feeling. That's oineg. So the mitzvah to make all the preparations on Erev Shabbos, that's called kibud. And the Rambam writes that kibud V'Yoinik carries over from Shabbos to Yontif. Doesn't only apply on Yontif. It doesn't only apply on Shabbos, it applies on Yontif as well. So based on that, many Achranim say the more correct is to bench licht on Erev Yontif. Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from, the practice was that on every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontif, the women would bench licht 30 minutes before the Shkia, and on Erev Yom Kippur, the women would bench licht 60 minutes before Yom Kippur, before the Shkia. And as a child, he asked, why is there a discrepancy? How come on Erev Yom Kippur, they light candles, the Mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur an hour before? So the official answer that they gave was that you need 30 minutes Tosefes Yom Kippur for the Melachas and 30 minutes for the Inuyim. He said he didn't understand what that means. He said it's one Kedusha Sayyam, that's Machayev the Chamisha Inuyim with the Malacha. So what do you mean? You need 30 minutes for this and 30 minutes for that. So that he never understood. But the idea that the Tosefis is 30 minutes, that says in Rishonim. There's a Tosefis in Beitza on Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Tosefis points out from the Gemara, would appear that there's a minimum amount of time that a person is supposed to be Moshe Mechoil Al HaKadosh. The Tosefis says they don't know how much time it is. So the Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf, now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz is printed. And 100 years ago, when the Mishnah Berurah was written, he quoted from the Achronim who had this Ksav Yad of Rabbeinu Peretz, that Samach Lemincha Gdol, Samach Lemincha Ktana, Samach always means a half an hour before. So that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz says. Samach L'Shabbos, you have to be in Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. So you should really always be Moisa Mechayla HaKadosh 30 minutes before. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The minhag used to be where he came from, that the women would bench lech 30 minutes before the Shkia, both on Erev Shabbos and on Erev Yantav. And on Erev Yom Kippur, there would be Moisa Mechayla HaKadosh 60 minutes, an hour before the Shkia. There is a common practice that many women have that when they bench licht for yontif, after they say l'hadlik ner shal yontif, they say the brachim shehech yonim. So strictly speaking, the Gemara says the men can also say shech yonu, not b'shas kiddush. The Gemara is loshen and erev in shech yonu, oimra afila b'shuk. Even if you're walking in the street, you can recite the brachim shech yonu. And that's what we do on Leil Yom Kippur. We say, right after Kol Nidri, we say Shachianu altogether. We don't recite Shachianu over a cup of wine because you don't accomplish anything. If you're going to hold a cup of wine, you're not going to take a taste of it. It's not considered a bracha lakos if you don't take a sip. And Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to take a sip. And once, the Gemara says, so let's say Shachianu malakos on Erev Yom Kippur before you mekabel latonis. So then it will be alakos. The Gemara says you can't do that. Once you say Shachianu, it's a Tosefes Yom Kippur Bal Korcho Shalodim. You can't say Shachianu an Erev Yom Kippur. That's the Gemara that the Bal Halachas Gedolah said, just like when you say Shachianu, it's a Tosefes Yom Tif Bal Korcho Shalodim. So the Bahag was of the opinion, all of Rishonim quote the Bahag, that when you bench licht, it's a Tosefes Shabbos Bal Korcho Shalodim, and you can't do any Malachas after. And all of the Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. What's the comparison? Benching licht is something you do on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yontif. But Shechionu can only be recited on Yontif. So Mikaredim, we really don't paskin like the Bahag. We say that when you madlik ner Shabbos, it's not really a Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcho. We don't like to go against what the Bahag said. Bahag lived in the days, Allah Chazdolos lived in the days of the Gaonim. And Tosis has a lashon called Dvar Dibri Kabbalah. He's writing over things that were observed in the days of the Gaonim. So we usually try to avoid being masna. A woman should do all the malachas before she benches lich. She should avoid having in mind that she's not mekabel Shabbos when she benches lich. If it's a big shas atrak, some big shas atrak, then we're makel that she can be madlik neiris on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif and have in mind not to be mekabel Yontif. But the common practice that the women have is to say shachyona when they bench lich. So then everyone agrees. Then even those who disagree with the Bahag would agree. Once you say Shachyanu, that's already Kabbalah's Tosefes Yonta Bal Korchoi. So you can't make a Tanai on that. Rabbi Kevega quotes from Rabbi Yankov Emden that he thinks that the practice of the women is not proper. The men could also really say Shachyanu in Shul. And every Yonta, for the first night Yonta, everybody can say Shachyanu like we do on Yom Kippur. The reason why we don't do it is because the Gemara says we enhance the significance, the Hashivas, of the bracha of Shachyana by reciting it ala kos. So we wait till the end of the Kiddush and then you say Shachyana. Shachyana is not connected with the Kiddush. Shachyana is on the Yantif. But we have enhanced the chashivas of the bracha of Shachyana by our reciting an ala kos. So why should the women cheat themselves? The women say Shachyana shalo ala kos when they're benching licht. They're losing out. If they wouldn't say Shachyana then, they would be yotze with the husband Shachyana when he's saying Kiddush. The Dei Shachyanu would be on a higher level. So some of the women will listen to Rabbi Yankov Emden's recommendation, and most of them will not. Most of them know their mother said Shachyanu, so they want to say Shachyanu. But Rabbi Kevega quotes this from Rabbi Yankov Emden. And his Ha'oris on Shulchan Aruch, the more correct is that the women should not say Shachyanu when they bench lich. And Leil Yom Kippur does make a difference, because the men are not going to be reciting Shachyanu over a cup of wine. So the women can say Shachyanu when they bench lich, there won't be a problem. But if the woman plans to, let's say on Erev Yom Kippur, if the woman plans to drive to Shul after Hadlakas HaNeiris and it's too far to walk, and she's going to make a tonight that she's not Mekabel Yom Kippur by Hadlakas HaNeiris, then she can't say Shechyanu. Once they say Shechyanu, you can't make a tonight that you plan to do Malach. The Gemara tells us that in Aseres Mei Tshuva, we change the Nusach of the Brach. Instead of Akel HaKadosh, we recite HaMelech HaKadosh, because the theme of Malchias is the prevailing theme this season of the year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon on Rosh Hashanah. Hayom Haris Olam, Rosh Hashanah, is the day of the creation. It's the sixth day of creation. It's not the first day. The first 5 days of creation were prehistoric because there was no human being around at that time. Ribbono Shel Olam was there. And the Malachim were created already way before Adam HaRishon, but there were no human beings there. So when we say Hayom HaRisalim, that's how the Rishonim say. We assume that the Rosh Hashanah is the sixth day of creation. By us, in our calendar, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Thursday. The original Rosh Hashanah on a Friday. Rosh Hashanah, Lo Adu Rosh, never falls out on a Friday. The original Rosh Hashanah of Sheshes Mei Bereshis was Yom HaShishi. It was a Friday. So the Mekubalim write that we live in an imperfect world. If we would live in a perfect world, Rosh Hashanah would always be on a Friday, like the original Rosh Hashanah of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. So the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to him, and he gave him the mitzvahs, right? Tzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam. He gave him the mitzvahs that we call the mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And Adam HaRishon was Mekabel Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every year, we should be Mekabel Malchus, Malchus Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the theme of Malchus is the prevailing theme in Aseres HaMei Tshuva. So that's what the Gemara says. You have to change the Nusach HaBroch, instead of HaKel HaKadosh, you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh. And then in the Broch on the Kedusha Sayyim, on Shabbos you say Broch Atah Hashem Mekadesh on Shabbos. Ayan to say Broch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael B'Hazmanim. Or on Rosh Chodesh Mekadesh Yisrael the Rosh HaKadoshim. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur we say Broch Atah Hashem Melech Al Kol Haaretz. Mekadesh Yisrael v'yam ha-zikorin, or Mekadesh Yisrael v'yam ha-kippurim. But you begin by saying Melech al kol ha-aretz, because the theme of Malchus is not only the prevailing theme of the Aseres Mei Tshuva, it's a crucial theme, in it's integral to the nature of the Kedusha Sayyim. So that's why we have to change the Nusach HaBroch to say HaMelech HaKodesh, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, if a person made a mistake, he has to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. The Hayyadim quotes a psak from the Dayan in Vilna. Every 50, 75 pages, the Hayyadim Chochmas Adam will quote a psak from Ababala Pasvela. Someone collected years ago, Machon Yerushalayim had somebody collect all the psakim, all the tshuvas from Ababala Pasvela, and they put it out. It's called the Sefer Nascha de Rababa, a big chunk from Ababala Pasvela. So this is one of his famous Hayroes, that if a, just like if a person forgot to say Yalav Yava in the Shemoneh Esrei of Ma'ariv and Leil Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says, why? What's the logic? Because they mekachin is a Chodesh Balayla. We're going to make it Rosh Chodesh tomorrow morning. It'll become Rosh Chodesh Lemafreya as of Leil Rosh Chodesh, because it's one day. The Yom and the Laila is one unit. So when the Bezdin will be mekachin it in the morning, declare it as a Rosh Chodesh, it'll be a glowing Muslim affair as Rosh Chodesh from the beginning, from last night. But B'shaita, when you're davening Leil Rosh Chodesh, the Bezin didn't yet declare it as Rosh Chodesh. So the Dayan and Vilna HaGil Paskin, the same is true Leil Rosh Hashanah. That if you're davening, you said HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, so B'dayevid you would be Yotze. The Rav gave a whole Yotze Drasha once explaining why he thought that it was not correct. It was a beautiful shir. He thought that it wasn't correct. There's no tzushtam. So that's a big question, whether we should paskan like Rababala Pasvela or not, that if one forgot HaMelech HaKadosh the first night of Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's Dino Ki Rosh Chodesh, that if one forgot Yalav Yav, you have to daven over again. That's questionable. Moshe Feinstein paskans like Rababala Pasvela, that you don't have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, but for a different reason. Not because they mekachin so Chodesh Balayla, but rather because the theme of Malchus is the prevailing theme in Aseres Mei Tshuva, because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. The Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emphasized this season of the year, because Aseres Mei Tshuva is the Din. The Din begins on Rosh Hashanah Yikaseimun, Yom Tzam Kippur Yechaseimun. That's the Gemar Din. So the Din, the Mikubolim say, the Din only begins in the daytime. The Din doesn't begin at the nighttime. So since the Din doesn't begin at the nighttime, so the insistence on changing the Nusach to HaMelech HaKadosh is you have to change the Nusach Balayla also, but to say that B'dayevid Yad Yotze, so that's Rab Moshe was Mekel, like Rababa Pasabella, but for a different reason, a totally different reason. At the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, in Nusach Ashkenaz, many of the Sidurim you have, instead of Pamburachas HaMisal Bashalom, you say Oseh HaShalom. So the Rab Chaim Volozhin quotes from the Vilna Gaon, he was very upset about this, he thought that that's not correct. This doesn't appear in the Gemara that you should change the Nusach HaBroche, and more correct is the Nusach Svard. In all the Machzorim that have Nusach Svard, so even in Aseres Mei Tshuva, the Broche is not changed, and you say HaMavarach is HaMisal Basham. Remember in Boston, there was a Balabos who had Yahrzeit on Rosh Hashanah. He was a nice Balabos, nice religious man, but he didn't know the Nusach HaTfila at all. but Hat Yahrzeit, so he davened Shacharis, I think. So he would make a lot of mistakes. He didn't know all of Rav Soloveitchik's dikdukim and the davening, so Rav Soloveitchik had to correct them. So I remember by mistake, he said what it said in the machzeh. He said, Oysa HaShalom. So Rav Soloveitchik made him say over the bracha. V'di'evet, he said the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Oysa HaShalom. Rav Soloveitchik made him say over the bracha. So he asks him after he said the Kaddish. He said, Avi the Malkein, and then he said the Kaddish to his Kabbal. So he said, but in the machzeh, it says, Oysa HaShalom. So he said, it is a misprint. Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to get involved and said, it's a misprint. He held that it's even Miyakeh B'di'evet. Yeah, our practice is that by the Ashkenazim, we have a very difficult meaning. We only duchen on Yomim Tovim. We don't duchen every day. Really, Medina de Gemara, the Kohanim, I'm chayv to duchen every day, once a day, every day, if called upon. So the meaning by the Ashkenazim is we don't call a Baal and Kohanim to duchen all year long, only on Yomim Tovim. So we should taka duchen properly. So one of the issues of duchening is also an old minig Ashkenaz that on the days that you duchen most places, but minig by the Ashkenaz, you only duchen by Musaf. Other kilos, they duchen by Shacharis, also on Yanta, but most only duchen by Musaf. So on the tefillah that you're going to have duchening, so instead of saying, Amachzer Shechinosa Litzion, Sechzenen, Shevcha Litzion, Barachmim, never say Amachzer Shechinosa Litzion. He says, "What is that all about?" Because that was the nusach of the bracha in the Beis Hamikdash. "Shoshalavat chabira na'avoid" refers to avoida, means avoida sakrobanus. And the Mishnah in Tamid has that was the nusach that they davened in the Shmona Esrei when they davened in the Beis Hamikdash. And duchening, the ikur duchening really is in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yankee Femnin writes in one place in Morak Tzia in his sefer on the tour of Rechaim. That duchening, he thinks that duchening bizman is only with the rabbanon. Duchening is only in the Beis Hamikdash at the conclusion of Hakrovas Kabbanis Tzibur. So since we're not in the Beis Hamikdash and we haven't brought any Kabbanis Tzibur, so he thinks that the whole duchening is only with the rabbanon. Mishnah Berurah quotes that and disagrees. He thinks that there are gemaras that contradict Rav Yankee Femnin. But that's what this idea is based on, that the ikur duchening is really like an avoida in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamikdash. They used to daven every day, and they said, "Shoshchal about chavira navod." So, at a day that you're going to duchen, so instead of saying "Hamachzor shchenos alitzion," you say "Shoshchal about chavira navod." So, the Vilna Gaon was opposed to that also. He said, "You have no right to change the nusach hatfila." So, he said, "Even when you duchen, the bracha should be the same, Hamachzor shchenos alitzion." I remember a few times they asked me to daven to be the shliach tzibur on Shavuos by Musaf. Because all the boys stayed up all night on Shavuos, and when they daven Shacharis, they were half asleep. When they daven Musaf, they were more than half asleep. So the Gabbai asked me twice to daven Musaf. So when I daven Musaf, so I said, Hamachzor Shechinos Alitzion. So Rav David Lifshitz was there both times. So he said, after the davening, he gave me a double Yashikoyach Zok, the Yashikoyach for davening, Yashikoyach for Hamachzor Shechinos Alitzion. Because in the yeshivas in Europe, in the Litvish yeshivas, they didn't always say Nusach Agro. Some of the things of the Gro they did adopt, not all of them. So this one they did adopt, not to change the Nusach Abroche, not to change to Shoshol Abad Chavira Navoid. So that in many yeshivas they did accept. Many people make a mistake. They're so concerned about looking at the Kohanim's hands. The Gemara said that it's improper to look at the hands of the Kohanim. So when the Kohanim go up to Duchen, so the people turn around, they have their back to the Kohanim. So the Gemara says that that's not correct. The duchening has to be, because Rachel Bnei Yisrael, Amor Lahem Kodem Hamadabra El Chaveroi, has to be Ponim Keneged Ponim. I don't know the women's section, but they told me that in the women's section, there's a higher percentage of women who turn their backs away, turn their backs around to the Kohanim. So we should tell our wives that they shouldn't do that, that the one who turns around, one who has the option of facing the Kohanim, Ponim Keneged Ponim, he turns around. So the Gemara says he's not Bechlal Bracha. He's not included in the Bracha. Also on the Shulchan Aruch, it says that that it's not, in the days of the Gemara, there was a minig in the Gemara in Saita, Perik Eilon Emorim, that they used to recite Psukim. When the Kohanim said, Yerech Hashem Yishmerecha, every word, so the Tzibur would respond by saying Psukim. So the Torah gives a whole explanation why we shouldn't do that bizman hazeh, because we have to pay attention to the Kohanim. So that's also a common issue, that a lot of people are so busy saying the psukim that are printed in the siddur, they don't pay attention to the words of the bracha that the Kohanim are giving. on the second night of Rosh Hashanah this year, we're going to say Kiddush and Havdalah. So that's called Yaknahaz, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. Whenever you have Yontav Shecholiyos B'Matzei Shabbos, he's saying Ner. So you say Havdalah, you say Bar Mi'ari Ho'esh. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah, Lachatchila, it's a mitzvah to have an avuka. An avuka means to have two wicks, or two candles near each other. So many used to have the practice that whenever you say Yak Nahaz, whenever you have Yontav Shcholias B'Matzoi Shabbos, you're going to say Bar Mi'ari Ho'esh as part of the Havdalah. So they were careful not to, many people had the practice, you put the two candles next to each other. That's called an avuka. So the Achronim say that it's not proper because if you're going to put the candles near each other, probably going to have them on a tilt, and you're going to drop some of the wax down. So that's a shayla of mechabe. Because you're tilting the candle to make one big flame, some of the wax may fall down. That's a shayla. Some say it's a shayla mechabe. Some say it's a shayla of havora shelo letzorich, that you're making a bigger fire than you really need. Rabbi Kveger quotes from the Maharil, if you have two candles that are near each other, they don't have to blend in to make one big flame. If the two candles are two different parts of the room, that's not called an avuka. But if the two candles are a few inches away from each other, a foot away from each other, the two, the lecht are on the table, that's also called an avuka. You don't have to blend it in together. So Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, recommended that one should observe that chumrah, not to have the two flames blend in together. On the second night of Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah quotes a machlokes HaRishonim, where the one says Shehech Yonim, and any other Yontav Sheni Shel Galuyos, we observe Yontav Sheni, but Torah Sveika D'Yom. Maybe yesterday was Yontav, maybe yesterday was Erev Yontav, and tonight is Yontav. So because of the Sveika D'Yom, so that's why we say Shehech Yonim on the second night. Maybe yesterday was Erev Yontav, and we said Shehech Yonim, last night was Brachel Batol, and tonight is Zevir Yontav. Shaila is Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaRichta, Kedusha Achas, means that it's only Yom HaRichta, or no, it's both Sveika D'Yom and Yom HaRichta. Is it only Yom HaRichta L'chumra, or is it Bein L'chumra and Bein L'kula? So because of that machlokes, that's a Shaila, whether you say Shech Yonim on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So Shulchan Aruch says, Mikra Adin, we pass them that you do say Shech Yonim, but the Maharam Rutenberg lived at the end of the Tkufa of the Bali HaTosfot. Maharam Rutenberg was a Talmud of the Or Zarua, was the Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Sirleon, and the Maharam Rutenberg's Talmidim were the Rosh and the Mordechai and Hagos Maimoni, the end of the Tkufa of the Bali HaTosfos. So the Maharam Rutenberg lived at a time, that's when the Mishkan Esankev writes in a footnote in the Tshuva about Erevin. He had a correspondence with the Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. They had a couple of issues. They were arguing about making Erevin on all the cities in Europe. So the Mishkan Esankev writes that the Maharam Rutenberg lived at the time of the Hasidi Ashkenaz, who introduced a new theme into Psak Halacha. Until the days of the Maharam Rutenberg, the Ashkenazim followed Ashkenazi Psak and the Sfardim followed the Sfardi Psak. And that was it. And then they started a new style of Psak Halacha to try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. So the Maharam Rutenberg introduced more than 10 different things that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, like over here. Because there's a machloikas with the Shech Yonim or not, so she would always have a Begad Chodesh or a Pi Chodesh, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, so to make sure that the bracha shouldn't be a bracha levatola. But the Mikra, then we paskin, even if you don't have the Begad Chodesh, it's still say Shech Yonim. We paskin that it's only a Yom HaRichta L'chumra, not L'kula. It's both a Sveika D'Yom and a Yom HaRichta. Another one of the cases where the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, there was a machloikas Hatanoim in Challah. If you have a minimum amount of flour that you made it into dough, they say from Rav Henke between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, mafish challah without a bracha. If you have more than 5 pounds of flour, mafish challah with a bracha. So what if you kneaded the flour without any water? You only use may peris. So that's a machloikas satanoim in Mishnah is challah, whether you chayv and challah or not. That was a machloikas in the early days of the Rishonim. And then they forgot what the Psak HaMekubal was. Then was a machlokes again repeated in the days of the later Rishonim. The Ozarua quotes the whole background. So then the Maharam Rutenberg introduced the chumrah that whenever you want to make a cake with May Peiris, make sure you pour in a significant amount of water that the lisha would have been able to be completed even without the mayperis. You put in enough water, you don't really need so much water. You put in enough water to have done the whole lisha, so bevada you say bracha. Because you're going to do lisha with only meper, it's going to be a machlekes, so you have to be mafresh challah without a bracha, and it's always proper to avoid doing a mitzvah without a bracha. More correct is that you should say a bracha. In 1831, there was a cholera epidemic that was sweeping through different parts of Europe, and Rabbi Kiveger wrote up in German for his community in Posen the guidelines. So he insisted that every other seat has to be empty. Today, the government says you have to have 6 feet distance. Days Rabbi Kiveger didn't realize that it's better to have 6 feet. So he said every other seat has to be empty. So they said every seat in the shul had a number. So he said the people with the even number seats can daven on Rosh Hashanah. They can't be in shul on Yom Kippur. And people with the odd number seats can be in shul on Yom Kippur. You can't be in shul on Rosh Hashanah. And they had policemen, Rabbi Kiveger, and the Chuvis mentions that also in the guidelines. He has this also. They're going to have Goyish police in front of the shul, and they're not going to let you in. They had to come with a card that said, I have the right to be there Rosh Hashanah. Or the card says, I have the right to be there for Yom Kippur. And they abridged the davening. Rabbi Kiveger was afraid if the doctors say today, if you're going to have a crowd of people together for too long a time, you're running a risk of transmitting the sickness from one person to the other. So he wrote in the Takanas, they're cutting out all the piyutim and they're cutting out all chazanas, and they're going to abridge the davening. So when they abridged the davening at Rosh Hashanah in September 1831, they only davened the Rosh Hashanah for 5 hours. That was the abridged version of the davening. And they started 5:30 in the morning, and the shul was locked at 10:30 in the morning, no more than 10 hours. They started Yigdal at 5:30, and they had to finish Musa by 10:30, and everybody had to leave. Okay, apparently Rabbi Kiveger davened the longest Shmone Esrei, they waited for him all the time. But the moral of the story was that you have to take these sakonis to heart. Cholera epidemic, many people died. Rabbi Kiveger was honored by the king of Prussia after the whole epidemic was over, because the king got the data and he saw that by the Jewish community in Posen, there were a much lower percentage of deaths than the rest of the community. So he honored Rabbi Kiveger. He was a leader on the people. He said all the goyim should follow this holy rabbi. He knew how to see to it that the people should be healthy. So we should follow in his footsteps. Those communities where you have a lot of people dining together, they should be careful. They should maybe leave out all the piyutim, leave out all the chazanas, and abridge as much as possible. If a person davens b'yichidus, he has to hear tkiyah shofar. The Gemara says that you only blow tkiyah shofar in the middle of chazaras hashatz when you're davening b'tzibur. Many have the practice, even blow in the middle of Tefillah Balachash when you daven mitzibur. Tosus, and then the Rosh Hashanah quotes that from the Oruch, that there's a meaning that you blow Meir Koilas, so you blow, that's in the days of the Gemara, they had the Takana. The blow Tkiyas the Miyushov after the Maftir, before Musav, and then Tkiyas the Miyumar in the middle of the Chazaras Hashat. So Tosus quotes the Oruch, that they would blow tkiyas in the middle of Tfilah Balachash and tkiyas in the middle of the Chazaras Hashatz also. Then they would blow more, that it should add up to Meir Koilas, 100 Koilas. So the Gemara said, Beferish, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, this idea of blowing shofar in the middle of Musaf, that's only when you're davening b'tzibur. If a person is davening b'yichidus, even though he's an expert baltekeh, or he has a baltekeh there at home with him, you don't blow shofar in the middle. It'll be a hepsik. This din, either it's a takana, Rashi seems told it's a din deraisa, that you blow shofar after malchus, chana shofaris. This din only applies when you're davening b'tzibur. When a person davens b'yochid, when should he blow shofar? Should he blow shofar right before he davens musaf or right after? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So the Ramo and the Shulchan Aruch pass, and you should, if it's possible, to arrange it. Sometimes you can't arrange it, but the care is doing him a favor. The man is davening in the hospital. He's davening at home. He can't go to shul either. He's afraid of the corona. He's afraid of the virus. So older people are more susceptible to this, a bigger risk. So if the fellow's davening at home, so sometimes, but the kid says, I'll come at 5 o'clock, I'll blow shofar for you. So he has no choice. But if he has a choice to blow either right before he davens musaf or right after, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes that's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, and the Rambam paskens like the Rambam, that he should blow the tkiyas right before he's about to daven musaf. If he can arrange it, so far fine. So he'll have the tkiyas at some later time. Exactly how many tkiyas do you blow? So in the days of the Tanaim, they had different practices. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Yom Truah Yelachem in Metargimin, and the Targum Mokmah says, Yom Yabova. What does the word Yabova mean? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Shiraz Devaira, that Aim Sisra was concerned how come her son was killed by Yoel Eshes Chebrakeni. He was a Sartzwa Melech Aram. He was terrible. He killed so many Jewish people in battle. So he finally lost his life. So his mother was sobbing, looking at the window, waiting for him to come home, and he didn't come home because he lost his life at that time. So the word vatiabev means to cry, to sob. So the Gemara says there are three different ways to cry. It can sound like shvarim, it can sound like tshuva, it can sound like shvarim tshuva. So there were three different opinions in the days of the Tanaim. How should you blow? You should blow tkiya, trua tkiya, three times, a tkiya, shvarim tkiya, three times, tkiya, shvarim trua tkiya, three times. So Rabbi Bo, who lived in the city Kisrin, he was an Amora, he made the takana, he blow all of the possibilities. So that's a big machlokes. What is this all about, that there are three different possibilities? So the Rav Haigoin was of the opinion that all three are acceptable. So why did you have to do all three? So do any one of them is acceptable. So Rav Haigoin says, no, the Balabatim felt that we're the only ones that were Yotze. The people in the other shula, the people in the other village were not Yotze because they blew Shvarim. And you're really supposed to blow Trua. Or they blew Trua and you're supposed to blow Shvarim Trua. So because the Balabatim would be looking down on each other and thinking we're the only ones that were Yotze, the others weren't Yotze. So Rabbi Bo made a takana because you should blow everything. So everybody blew all the logical possibilities. Taisa doesn't think like that. Taisa doesn't think that you Yotze, any one of the three forms of Trua is acceptable. It was a Machlekes HaTanaim, which is the correct way to blow. So it's misafik, you have to blow all three. Not that they're just to satisfy the Balabatim. They shouldn't think that they're the only ones that were Yotzin. The people in the other community were not Yotzin. So that's an issue. When you blow the Tkiya Shofar in the middle of Chazar Sashat after Malchus and after Zechrinus, and after Shofars, what do you blow? So the Rif quotes the Tshuvas HaGoinim that the Minig Bishtei Yeshivas in the two yeshivas in the days of the Goinim, supposedly they're carrying over the minig from the days of the Amoraim. Minig was that at the end of Malchias and the Chazaras Hashatz, the Baltikei would blow Tkiya Shvarim Tshuva Tkiya. And after Zechrinus, he would blow Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya once. And after Shofars, he would blow Tkiya Tshuva Tkiya. So all the Rishonim ask, it doesn't make any sense. Well, each one contradicts the other one. If the correct form is Shvarim Tshuva, so you didn't blow shofar properly after Zechrinus and Shofars. If the correct form is Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, so you only blew correctly after Zechrinus. You didn't blow correctly after Malchus nor after Shofars. What is it all about? So if you all like Rav Haigoin, then it's Nicha, because Rav Haigoin holds that all three forms are acceptable. And we were really yotze everything before we started the Davar Musaf, because we blew already, we blew Tkiya the Miyushav, we blew Tkiya Shofar before. So, and there's no sfeika the dina, which is the correct form. All the three forms are acceptable. That's the minig b'shtei yeshivas. Most places in the world, they don't observe this minig b'shtei yeshivas anymore. Broyers never changes any of their menogim, so they still have the practice. That after Malchias, the chazm blows tashrat once, after Zechrinus, he blows tashrat once, and after Shofars, he blows tarat once. But that's what most of the Rishonim didn't accept that. So the Rabbi Natam said the correct way to satisfy all the opinions is to blow Tashrat once after Malchias, after Zechrinus, and after Shofars. Because if you blow Tkiya Shvarim Tshuva Tkiya, so Mimonim Shach, if the correct form is Tashrat, so you blew it. If the correct form is Tashat Tkiya Shvarim Tkiya, so that's included in Tashrat. But you threw in a Trua that didn't belong. So Rabbi Natam holds Mikra Din, if you have an extra Trua Mapsik in between the Trua, the Shvarim, and the last Kiya, that's not Miyakeh B'Rievet. L'chatchili shouldn't have any Hefzer Kol Achad Ben Time, but it's not Miyakeh B'Rievet. So that was the, there was, in the days of the Ramah, that was the practice, that they followed the Rabbeinu Tam, that they blew Tashrat once after Malchus, once after Zechariah, and once after Shofar, because Tashrat has everything included over there. The Mechaber has a very strange minig that nobody understands. The minig in the days of the Mechaber was that they would blow Tashrat three times after Malchus, Tashat three times after Zechariah, and Tarat three times after Shofar. So that's the minig b'shtei yeshivas, which doesn't make any sense, times three. We don't understand the minig. We didn't understand minig b'shtei yeshivas. So they, the days of the Ramah, days of the Mechaber, they would blow Tashrat three times after Malchus. What are you blowing three times after Malchus? It's a teller. The common minig all over is not like the Rabbeinu Tam, not like the minig b'shtei yeshivas, not like the Mechaber. The common practice is like the Shalom. You wonder, why did it take so many centuries till they changed the practice? Common practice is like the Shalom. Shalom says after Malchus, you should blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. Because you're supposed to blow Tkiah, Trua, Tkiah, after Malchus. And we're not sure what is Trua, so we do all the three logical possibilities. So you blow Tashrat, then you blow Tashat, then you blow Tarat. And then the same after Zechariah and after Shofar. So that's the common practice. That's what everybody does. This year there's an issue of eating on Yom Kippur. If a person is taka sick, he has to consult his doctor. If there's a svek sveka of a suffix sakana, he has to eat. Sometimes the din will require he should eat pachas pachas mikashia. And sometimes the din will say, no, he should eat normally. He doesn't even have to eat pachas pachas mikashia. Depends to what extent he's sick. But the Rakanti is one of the later Rishonim. He quotes, has a lot of Kabbalah. So the Rakanti quotes that there was one of the Bali Hatosis who was deathly sick on Erev Yom Kippur, and the doctor sized up the situation. He said if he'll fast on Yom Kippur, he will definitely die. And if he eats on Yom Kippur, there's a slim chance that he may survive. So all the Bali Hatosis said, you have to eat, because a Sufik, a Sfek Sfek, a Sufik Sakon, is Decha Kala Tarakula. It's not Yohari Bal Yavar. If a Nochri comes to me with a gun and he threatens to kill me unless I'm a Chal Shabbos, unless I eat Chazer, so sometimes he say, Yohorig Val Yavar, most of the time he say, Pikoch Nefesh is Deuche. So there, Taisa says, if the person wants to volunteer, Yohorig Val Yavar, we would allow him to volunteer. Amidus Chazer, the Ram holds you're not allowed to volunteer Yohorig Val Yavar when it's not required, because it's considered like committing suicide. And the Bala Taisu said that sometimes it is permissible to volunteer. But if it's not a Nochri who's threatening to kill me unless I violate the Dina HaTorah, there's no Anos. It's just that I'm sick. I'm a Chole Mesukan. There is no Midas Chasidus to be Machber, to fast on Yom Kippur and to lose your life. That's ridiculous. There isn't such Midas Chasidus. So this Bala Taisu didn't listen to his Chaver and he died. On Yom Kippur, he died from fasting on Yom Kippur. So they all said, Dama Barosha, they said, he did Shaloi Kedin. You're not allowed to be Machmer on that. In fact, there's a tshuva, I didn't have a chance to look it up. I think it's from the Maharam Shikha, one of the other Talmidim of the Chassam Sefer. There was a Bal Tekeah who had the Chazokah every year in Rosh Hashanah. He would blow Shofar. So one year he developed a heart condition. So the doctors told him he's not allowed to blow Shofar. He may lose his life. He may strain himself too much. He may get a heart attack and lose his life. He didn't listen to the doctors. And he blew Shofar and nothing happened. And he was fine. He didn't get sick. So he said to the people, you see, the doctor guessed wrong. I'm healthy. So the Rav Paskin, I think it's the Maram Shik, the Rav Paskin, that nobody in Shul was Yotze. Because whenever there's a Sufik Sakana, you can't say later on he survived. So it's a Gloy Muslim Afreya that the Sufik Sakana was a mistake. Whenever there's a suffix sakon, it's b'toris vadai that you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. So therefore, the Bal Tekeah, who had the chazakeh, he's considered ena mechuyah b'dover. So he's not allowed to blow shofar to be moitzi the others. Because even though it's only a suffix sakon, whenever there's a suffix sakon, it's vadai that you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. To that extent, well, that's the shayla. Let's say there's a suffix sakon on a baby. So you postpone the bris. So let's say the doctor said Safik Sakana, and you didn't postpone the bris. You did the bris milah on the 8th day. You didn't wait. So there's a discussion in the post. Can maybe you're not even Yotze B'dievet, since there was a Safik Sakana, even though it turns out that it was all a mistake, that everything is fine. But whenever there's a Safik Sakana, some post can hold that B'toris Vatai. you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. So it's like doing a milah toch shmeina. If the moel did the milah before the yom hashmini, so we the shach paskins in yeri day, you have to repeat. You have to do a hatovas dam bris later on. So that's what some of the poskim said by the fellow who had the chazaka to be the bal takeya, and the doctors warned him he shouldn't blow this year on yom kippur because it's a safek sakana. He didn't listen. So they said that some of the rabban paskin is not yotze b'toras, but no one's yotze because he's called Eina Mechuyi B'dover. On Erev Yom Kippur, the Ramban points out on the end of the next to the last daf in Yuma that the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Titorum. So just like Rabbi Ruchem Perla, we mentioned earlier, Rabbi Ruchem Perla understood in Rav Sadi Goyen that he learned Pshat and Chumash Lifnei Hashem Titorum. Before you enter into the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, everyone should go to Mikveh. Titorum means go to Mikveh. So the Ramban understood, Lifnei Hashem, before you enter into the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, Titorum, you should recite Vidui. You should purify your soul by reciting Vidui. So that's why the Gemara says you really should recite Vidui and Erev Yom Kippur before the Kedusha Sayyam is about to enter. But the Chachamim were afraid that if you'll postpone the Vidui till right before Kol Nidre, right before it's about to be Mekabel Kedusha Sayyam, so something may come up in the Suda HaMapsekis. His wife will ask him, please take down the garbage, please put away the dishes, please do this, please do that. And he'll come to shul a few minutes late. He'll just make it by the skin of his teeth and say Kol Nidre, and he won't have a chance to say Vidui. So that's why the Chachamim instituted, you should say Vidui before the Suda HaMapsekis. You should say Vidui after Mincha. And then the Mogen Avram quotes from the Shalom, but if you come to shul and there's time left, come to shul early. If there's time, a few minutes left before the chazan is about to say Kol Nidre, everybody should say Vidui in the shul. So many people have the practice that they say the Nusach HaVidui that was composed by the Chayodim. They have it printed in a lot of, in the art scroll Machzor, I think they have it printed in a lot of Machzorim, they have the Nusach. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, had Rabbonis in Europe, and he didn't have him say the Nusach of the Chayodim. He had the regular Nusach. But you say after the Shemana Esrei, after Mincha and Erev Yom Kippur, and after every Shemana Esrei on Yom Kippur, you say, L'kein v'sein, Anatav l'hanach t'filosenu, Shana Magadam Gazanu, then you say, Al-Chet shel Chaton l'fanecha. You say the regular Vida. Why should you compose a new Vida? You say the regular Vida. We say the Vida, the Takanas Chachamim is to say the Vida after Mincha, before the Suda Mafsekas. But then the Ikar Din really is Samach L'Knisas Yom Kippur. So then if there's time left after, when the person comes to Shul after the Suda Mafsekas, if there's time left, they should repeat the Vida again before you say Kol Nidre. Why does the phrase Lefnei Hashem have the connotation of before you enter into Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur? That's because we assume that on Yom Kippur there's a deeper Hashras Hashchina. That's the way Lefnei Hashem Titoru. Ki B'yom HaZeh Yechaper Alechem. Ki B'yom HaZeh. How do you translate Ki B'yom HaZeh? So we usually translate on this day of Yom Kippur, Hashem will forgive all of our sins. So Rav Soloveitchik said the Tanoim didn't understand it like that. They understood that it's a Beis HaKeli. That's the terminology that the Rishonim used in Diktuk. Means with be'et hazani kotev. I'm writing with this pen. Be'et. I'm going to use the pen to write. Ani makeh otcha biyad shali. So biyad means with my hand I'm going to hit you. So ki bayom hazeh with the kedusha sayam of Yom Kippur. Ki bayom hazeh echap alechem. Through the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, Hashem is going to forgive all of our sins. What does that mean? That the uniqueness of the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur is that there's a very strong Hashras Hashchina, whatever that means. We're not exactly sure. Unlike all year long. And that's why we have the minig after Yom Kippur is over. So we say Hashem Hu Halakim seven times. Why seven times? The Mishnah says, I'm a Shema Shema Mishaskin also. There's only one God. So what are you saying Hashem Halakim seven times? It should be an Iser, Muchlot. So Tosfos says, no, the Gemara says in Chagiga that there are Shiva Rikim. When the Shechina, at the end of Yom Kippur, the Shechina goes back to the Elyonim. So we baglate the Shechina, when it goes back to the first Rakia, the second Rakia, there are seven Rikim. So that's why we say seven times, Hashem Hu Elikim. And then we have a minig also, it's not a din, it's a minig that we blow Shofar after Ne'ila. What is that all about? So Tosfos in different Mesichtas has three different explanations. So the most popular explanation is that just like at the conclusion of Maimon HaSinai, the Shechina went back to heaven. So as a similar Silek Shechina, there was a Tkiya Shofar. And it said, B'mshech b'keren ha'yevel heima yala bahar. When the people will hear the Tkiya Shofar, that'll be a similar dova that the Maimon HaSinai is over, that there's a Silek Shechina. So then everyone's allowed to go on Har Sinai. The Kedusha of Har Sinai was not Kitchelos Elovai. It was only called Zman the Shechina was there. So the Shechina is with us, present with us. There's a special degree, a deeper degree of Hashuas HaShechina on Yom Kippur. And when the Shechina goes away, we blow Shofar as a similar Silek Shechina. So that's when it means, Ki b'yom hazeh yechap alechem, through the itzuma shel yom is mechap. What do you mean? So Rav Soloveitchik gave a moshel. It's from the Chassidish Sfarim. Sometimes you have a stain in a garment. The clothing is dirty. So you soak it in water and you pour in detergent and you rub the beged. You rub one part of the beged on the other part. So that's the way you clean a stain out from a beged. So when we do averis, it causes a stain on our neshamas. So the way to rub out the stain from the neshamas, the way to cleanse the neshamas is to rub against the shechina. So on Yom Kippur, b'yom hazeh, itzuma shel yom has a special, deeper degree of hashuas hashechina. That's the way we have the mechilas avinus. So that's the uniqueness of Yom Kippur. So that's why they interpret. That's why the Ramban and that's why the Rav Sadigon. That's why they interpreted lifnei Hashem. Immediately before the Hashuas HaShechina Titoru, you should purify yourself. Rav Sadigon learns Lefnei Hashem Titoru, you should go to mikveh right before Yom Kippur. And the Ramban says, Lefnei Hashem, before you enter into Yom Kippur, Titoru, you should cleanse yourself by saying vidui. But the book learning Lefnei Hashem means before the Hashuas HaShechina, that's the uniqueness of what Yom Kippur is all about. We have a very old minhag from the days of the Gaonim to recite Kol Nidrei on Erev Yom Kippur. What's up? What are we saying Kol Nidrei for? So there are different explanations. So in a lot of the Nusach Svar, a lot of the Chassidish Machzorim, they have a passage from the Zohar printed where the Zohar makes a comparison between a Bezen makes a Hatoras Nedarim and a person does tshuva. So just like the din is if a man is mefer Nidrei Ishto or Nidrei Bito, so the Gemara says it's only Megas Gaius. The neder is only broken Mikana Lahabo. It's not Oikar Sanedah Meikore. Until now, the neder was binding. Now on, the husband and the father is Mefer. So the neder is no longer binding. As opposed to a Heta Bezdin, when Bezdin is Mata Neder, even if the person already violated the neder and he deserves Malkus, if Bezdin is Mata Neder based on a Pesach or a Harata, so the Gemara says the Bezin is Chocham Oikar Neder Meikor. It comes out the whole Neder was a Neder Betois. There never was a Neder. It's Oikar Neder Meikor. So in the Zohar, the passage in the Zohar that's printed in the Chassidish and Machzorim says that just like there's a Koyach of HaToras Nedarim to be Oikar the Neder Meikor, there's a Koyach to do Tshuva to be Oikar the Aver Meikor. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma, towards the very end of Yuma, if a person does tshuva meira, all the averas that he did bezodin as done tas and lo kishkogis. It's oiked avera. It's considered as if he did the avera b'shogeg. And if he does a higher level of tshuva meyahava, then his donas the averas that he did bemezid lo kishkuyas is considered farechent as if all of those averas that he did bemezid. Considered as if he did mitzvahs, because later in life he's going to look back, he's going to keep on reminding himself of the fact that he did averus, he's going to eat himself up alive, he's going to aggravate himself. Well, how did I do those terrible averus? So that will spur him on to do more mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in the future. So that's why the Gemara says if a person does tshuva me'ava, all the averus that he did bezod is done in tas and lo kizuchuyas. So it can be oikad in nature, it can't be oikad averus, it's oikad averus me'ikorei. It changes lamafreya, the whole nature of the aver. So many say that that's the reason why we make HaToras Nedarim and Erev Yom Kippur, to remind all the people that the koyach to do tshuva is similar in a certain sense to the koyach of the bezin to be mata neder, just like the chacham oikar neder merkar can undo the whole neder. It comes out it's a neder b'tos, it wasn't chal at all. So too, when a person can do tshuva on Yom Kippur anytime, not only on Yom Kippur, and Kippur is a Zman Miyuchad L'Tshuva, so this has the power to be Oikir Daveris L'Mafreya. Others give a different suggestion. There was some professor in Germany 100 years ago who published a whole fascinating essay. He documents the fact that in the days of the Rishonim, I think, they used to have a parade. The Orthodox Jews used to have a parade on Yom Kippur. Those who were believed in Torah Shebaal Peh, they were fighting against the Karoim who didn't accept Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Orthodox Jews who did believe in Torah Shebaal Peh would have a parade similar to like Lubavitch has a parade on Lag BaOmer to demonstrate the fact that they believe in the Zohar, that the Zohar was written by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and they follow the Zohar. So the Orthodox Jews in Alexandria in Egypt used to have a parade on Yom Kippurim. We assume the Beis HaLevi has a long essay about this in the end of the Chelek Beis with the Shalos HaTshuvos, and Rav Shlomo Levilna has this in his Sefer in Binyan Shlomo. We have 2 days in the calendar that we celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah. On Shavuos we say Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says in the end of Tainus, Yom Kippur and Chamishos Bo'av were the two jolliest days in the Jewish calendar year. And they used to make shidduchim, make a lot of shidduchim. So the Gemara says, Yom Kippur, we understand. Yom Kippur is the day of Kabbalas Lucha Shnias. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. We're celebrating on Yom Kippur the Kabbalas HaTor. But what is Chamisha Sabav all about? So the Gemara gives a whole historical background. What happened on Chamisha Sabav? So the Rav Shlomo Levilna with the Beis HaLevi, they were contemporaries. So they both write, what do you need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalas HaTor? We celebrate on Shavuos, Man Matan Torah Seinu, and then we celebrate on Yom Kippur. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shnias. So they both explain the same thing. According to the region, based on Midrashim and passages from the Zohar, Barichas, on Shavuos, the original plan was going to be that there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything was going to be Torah Shebichsav, and you'd be able to look in the Luchas and find the answers to all the Shalas. There wasn't going to be any need at all for Torah Shebaal Peh. But after the Chet HaEgel, so the Ribbono Shel Olam was Goyzer B'nei Yisrael that they should be Tachas Memshelas HaGoyim as a punishment. So the Nochrim will balabateva over the Jews, and they will claim that that's what happened. The Catholics claim that they are the Am HaNevchar. The Jewish people lost their status as Am HaNevchar because we rejected Oso HaIsh, and they accepted him, so they're really the Am HaNevchar, and they have the Torah. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam felt, because he's going to put the Jewish people tachas shlitas ha-nochrim, and the nochrim will claim that they are the hamanivcha. So the Ribbono Shel Olam decided after the Chet HaEgel is going to give lucha shnias. This time it's only going to have aseres hadibros written on it. It's not going to have kol ha-Torah kula written. There's going to be a sefer Torah, but there's going to be a ton of Torah Shebaal Peh. There's going to be a whole institution of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's going to be unique for the Jewish people. When Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden of Bnei Yisrael, so he had a right, he had to be Mamid Avonim in Hagrizman HaRevel, and had a right Kol HaTorah Kula Bar Hetev in Shivim Loshen to make Torah Shebichsav available to the Yolu Umas HaOlam. But the Torah Shebaal Peh is only for Bnei Yisrael. That's not supposed to be made available to the Umas HaOlam. So that's what we have that's unique to the Jewish people. So the Alexandrian Orthodox Jewish community, I think in the days of the Rishonim, had this practice. They used to have a parade on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day when we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik, when he said over one of the Kinas Tshuva Drashas, he said over this Beis HaLevi, Bariches, so he said, when you look in the Chumash and Parshas Achrei Mois, the Avodas Yom Kippur is divided into three parts. The Kohen Gadol did the Avodah of the Big Day Zohar, then that Big Day Lov, and then he ended up Big Day Zohar. And the Torah Shebaal Peh says you don't follow what it says in the Chumash. You divide the Avodah into 5 units. Big Day Zohar, Big Day Lovan, Big Day Zohar, Big Day Lovan, and then Big Day Zohar. You don't follow what it says in the Chumash. How can the Chumash is written incorrectly? So the Rav suggested maybe because Yom Kippur is the Yontif of Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh, like the Beis HaLevi explained. So that's why the Chumash went out of its way to write it in a very poor fashion, that we should realize if we don't follow Torah Shebaal Peh, we won't be doing the Avodah properly. You're not supposed to follow what it says. Whenever there's a conflict between the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, you have to follow what it says in the Torah Shebaal Peh. You don't follow what it says. So that's why the Chumash went out of its way to write it in a certain sense, incorrectly, inaccurately, to teach us the lesson we have to follow Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's what the Mishnah says in the end of the first parak in Chagiga. Het Nedarim is only known to a Torah Shabbal Peh. Hafaras Nedarim, the husband and the father have the ability to be Mefen Nedarim. That's in Torah Shemichsah. But Hafaras Nedarim is only known to a Torah Shabbal Peh. And the Mishnah, and the last line in the Mishnah in the first parak in Chagiga, is of the opinion Het Nedarim Parchim Boavir. It's transmitted orally, the sound waves are transmitted orally from generation to generation. It's not based on reading in between the lines. The bulk of the Torah Shabbal Peh is the rushes that you're reading in between the lines. Klal prat, prat to klal. How come it switches from singular to plural, to masculine to feminine? How come there's a word missing? There's an extra word, there's an extra letter, there's a missing letter, and so on. You're reading things in between the lines. But halach al moshe mesini means a din, that there's no basis in the Chumash, purely a tradition of Torah Shabbal Peh. So the Mishnah holds like that. Het Nedarim Parchim Ba'avir, it's only transmitted orally from generation to generation. It's not based on anything read in between the lines. So that's what this German professor from 100 years ago suggested. Maybe that's why we start off Yom Kippur with HaTorah Nedarim, to demonstrate that we subscribe. This was when they were fighting against the Karaites in the Middle Ages. So the days of the Goyim, were also fighting against the Karaim. So they introduced Kol Nidre to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. We believe in HaTorah Sandor. In fact, we don't practice HaFor. HaFor is so restricted. The husband can only be made for Nidorim if it's Benola, Beno, Irina, Nefesh. And it's very, very restricted. So that's why we always go for HaTorah Sandor. We go to a business. We don't do HaFaras Sandor. So that's another explanation why we start off Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre. Rav Soloveitchik gave a third suggestion. Why? So he said, because the whole uniqueness of the Kedusha Sayyama of Yom Kippur is that we have a deeper degree of Hashras Hashchina. That's why when Yom Kippur is over, we say seven times Hashem Hu Elokim, because the Shechina is going back to the seventh heaven, and that's why we blow Shofar, Siman L'Seil of Shechina, and that's why the whole Kibayam HaZeichaper, the whole Kapara is that we rub our souls against the Shechina, and that's the way we purify them from the Averis. So if you want to be Moseh Mechoel Al HaKodesh, you want to bring in Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur earlier. How can you do that? By bringing the Shechina down to us. How can you bring the Shechina down? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Gemara has a comment, Elokim Nitza Badaskel, that whenever there's a bona fide bezin that gathers together to make a din Torah, so the Baruch Shalom promises there'll be a Hashras HaShechina. So we want to bring the Shechina earlier. That's the way to bring the Kedusha Sayyam. That's the way to be Moshe Mechoel Al HaKodesh, to bring down this special Hashras HaShechina. So the way to do it is to make a bezin, to convene a bezin. And if you have a legitimate, bona fide bezin, that Shechina will come. So if you're going to have a bezin about a sichsuch and didimamas, everybody's going to be cursing and you're a liar and you're a liar, they're going to be screaming at the rabbanim, screaming at each other and angry at each other. So you have a bezin for HaTorah Nedarim. No one's cursing, no one's angry, but you convene a bezin. So whenever you convene a bezin, there'll be a Hashras HaShechina. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. Maybe that's the reason why we start off Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, that we want to bring in the Kedusha Sayyam by bringing the Shechina down. That's the question, what is the Nusach of Kol Nidre? The old Nusach always used to be that we're Mata the Nedarim of the past year. We're Mata Kol Nidre, the Sarei Shvuei, all the Nedarim that we took Yom Kippurim She'avar, Ad Yom Kippurim Hazeh, so we convene a Bezn of three, the Chazan with one to the right and one to the left, the Bezn of three, and the Mata Nedarim. The Rabbi Natam changed the Nusach, and he said he thinks that it's a mistake. It's not supposed to be HaTorah Sandorim Lisha Over. It's supposed to be a Mesiras Meidor LaHabo. It's supposed to say, Kol Nidre Vu Shvuei, any Neder Shvu that I will take in the course of the coming year, Yom Kippurim Zad Yom Kippurim Habo Aleinu L'Toiva, Biz Ibrayor, until next year. Any Nedarim where we plan to take in the course of the coming year, we already make a declaration now that we don't want them to be binding. And this is based on the Gemara in Nedarim, that if a person makes a declaration, Beresh Shato, in the beginning of the year, so some Bereshim, Resh Shato means Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Natam says, no, it doesn't mean, it means the beginning of the year. Yom Kippur is the beginning of the year. So if you make a declaration in the beginning of the year that all the Nedarim that I will take in the course of the coming year should be null and void, so then they're not binding. In the yeshiva, the meaning is that we say the nusach of the chayodim. So the chayodim combines both. You say kol nidrei shvuei that we took in the course of the past year. We want to be matan neder, and any neder shvuei that we will take in the course of the coming year should be null and void. So we say both. On Erev Yom Kippur, the Gemara says there never was a takanas chachamim to bench licht. On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, you have to bench licht because you're going to eat a meal. On Yom Kippur, officially, nobody's eating. Cholim have to eat, but officially, there's no meal. So they never made a takana that you have to bench licht on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah in Psochim, in Perek Malkam Shenoga, records, Malkam Shenoga lahadlik asaner, Erev Yom Kippur madlik, and Malkam Shenoga lahadlik, a madlikim. And the Gemara explains that the meaning is only for married people. Single people don't light candles Erev Yom Kippur. Married people light in the bedroom. And the idea behind lighting in the bedroom is because Yom Kippur is also the Tashmish Amita. So some had the meaning, if you have the candles burning, so he'll know not to have Tashmish Amita, Mishamish Mitos or Lo'or Aner. And the other meaning of Mekaymus was that B'davke, you don't have the candles lit, so you won't see how good looking your wife looks, and then you won't have a desire to be with her, so you won't violate the Isser of Tashmish Amit. So the Gemara says the both Menhagim are based on the same thing, to be Mechazik, the din that Yom Kippur is also with Tashmish Amit. So that minig, that says the minig of lighting the candles is only for married people, and you light the candles in the bedroom. There's a machlokes fardim and Ashkenazim where the bracha is recited. That's a shaila. Do you recite a bracha only when you're about to perform a birchas hamitzvah? You only recite when you're about to perform a mitzvah, the rabbanim. What if you're doing a mitzvah which is only a minig? Like hadlokas haner, an erev Yom Kippur is only a minig. So the sfardim have the practice. They don't recite the Ramam Shita. They don't recite a bracha when they say chatzi halal amesh chodesh, because Gemara says chatzi halal amesh chodesh is only a minig. And Ashkenazim have the practice. We do recite, those of us who are Ashkenazim, we do recite the bracha on chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh, and we do recite the bracha on hadlokas haneris, haner of Yom Kippur. The whole story begins because the Gemara says when you clap by shyness on Hashanah Rabbah, that's a minig neviim, and therefore there's no brachim. So it sounds like one does not recite the brachim when you're just observing a minig. So Rabbi Natam says, now there are two kinds of menagim. Sometimes you do recite, sometimes you don't recite. So chatzi halal amesh chodesh, hadlokas haneris, haner Yom Kippur, that type of minig, you do recite the bracha. That reciting halal sometimes is a chiyuv. So when it's a minig to do a thing that does exist. But clapping hashayinus never exists anywhere as a real din. So that's a different kind of a minig. But lighting neiris on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov is a minig that exists sometimes as a mitzvah. So such a minig, you would say a bracha. In the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there were mistakes in both. There's a Nusach Ashkenaz and a Nusach Svard of the Seidu Havoida. That's Medina de Gemara, that the Chazan has to say the Seidu Havoida in the Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf. Even in days of Rabbi Kedegar in 1831, when they had that terrible cholera epidemic, and he said they should cut out all the piyutim and be memayit, how long they're going to be in shul together to have less, to cut down the risk of catching the disease. But the Seder Avodah is not a piyut. Seder Avodah, that's Medina the Gemara, that you have to say Seder Avodah. So there were mistakes galore in both Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. So the Beis Yosef has one page in Hilchos Yom Kippur where there's no tour at all. Only Beis Yosef, the whole page, it corrected the whole Nusach Sfard. And the printers were smart enough to correct the text of the Seder Avodah in the Nusach Sfard Sidurim. So from that time on, this Nusach Sfard was more correct than the Nusach Ashkenaz. Rav Soloveitchik said a few times in his public talks and Aseres Mitzvah, he would really prefer to say the Nusach Sfard Seder Avodah, but he can't. What can he do? His family meaning is that they say Nusach Ashkenaz, so he's stuck. So he's stuck with the Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Nusach Ashkenaz has a ton of mistakes. The Chayyadim wrote all the corrections, but in the Chayyadim, the tiny letters, so the printers never corrected it. So most of the Machzorim just have the mistaken text, the old text of the Nusach Ashkenaz. And the Yeshiva, they distribute every year, the last couple of years, before Yom Kippur, they distribute a copy of the Seder Avodah with all the corrections in it. So one of the corrections is that the Baal HaTanya has this correction. One of the corrections is that HaKohen Avraham Hom the Mazor HaKohen Mishtafim Amodim, in most of the Sidurim, it only, most of the Mazorim, it only has it three times, because the Kohen Gadol says Vidui three times. That's in Chumash, in Parshas Achrei Mos. So each time he says Vidui, he would say, So when he said Lifnei Hashem Titor, he said the Shem Hamfurish. So it says Hakan Avraham Hom the Mazor Hakoy Mishtachem Amoidim. When they heard the Kohen Gadol pronounce the Shem Hamfurish, but then there was a fourth time that they had Hakan Avraham when the Kohen Gadol made the Hagrola and he determined which is going to be the Soil Hashem. So the Mishnah says he said La Hashem Chatos and he said La Hashem. He pronounced the Shem Hashem Kichsavai. So then it was also Kohen Avraham Hom de Mazor. So that's missing in most of the Mazorim that the Baal HaTanya had it on. Then the Maharil had in the regular Birnbaum Machs and the regular Mazorim, you only have twice it's printed that it says that when the Kohen Gadol first brings the Par Kohen Gadol, Lifnai Belifnim, and then he does the in front of the Kapoiris on the Oren Abris in the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni. There was no Oren. Bais Sheni, he was Zorik the Dam Keneged where the Oren Kodesh used to be. But in the Bais Rishon, he would Zorik the Dam Achz Lamaila Visheva Lamata. So, and then he would be Zorik the Dam from the Sori Lashem. Then he would be Zorik the Dam Hapor, Parachatus Hashaloi, Achzamayla Shevelamat in front of the Parachas, then the Dam Hasoyer, Achzamayla Shevelamat. So the Gemara learns that from Psukim that in order to keep track, he shouldn't count from 1 to 8. He should count 1 and then 1 to 7, because Achzamayla Shevelamat. So this he did four times. Achzamayla Shevelamat. In most of the Machzorim, the old Machzorim, it only had twice. Achaz, Achaz, V'Achaz, V'Shtayim, Achaz, V'Sholosh. Then the Maharil says that they changed it to three. That's how Broya still has. They say three times. Three times doesn't make any sense at all. And then the more correct is the Maharil says you should say it four times. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik adopted, that Nusach. That it should really be said four times. Achaz, Achaz, V'Achaz, Achaz, V'Shtayim, and so on, Achaz, V'Sholosh. There's a common minig that the Zechel Amigdash, just like Amigdash, the Bazar, those who were in the Azara would be Kareh Mishtach Ramayda. They would pish the Daim Raglaim on the floor when they heard the Shem Amfurash. So the minig is that the men in the Shul kneel on the floor, Zechel Amigdash, when the Chazan says, Akanavam, the Bazar. The Shadas does the Chazan also kneel on the floor. Chazan, middle of Hazara, Sashas, he's not supposed to be walking around. So the minhag always was that the practice was that the Kohanim, the Chazanim would hold their feet together. They would jump with their feet together. So Rav Soloveitchik used to make fun of, what does it help to jump? If he's kneeling on the floor, he's already not in the position of Amida. The din is when you say Shemana Esrei, Chazan says the Chazar Sasha, it's supposed to be Bamida. So what does it help that his two feet are together, but he's lying on the floor? So really more correct is the Chazan should never be do Pishud Daim Raglaim in the middle of Chazara Sashatz, in the middle of Shmanes. But the minig developed that they do. So many places, in Broyers, they have this minig. I think the Orach HaShulchan has it, the Rav Soloveitchik had that minig also. We allow the Chazan, Bekoshe, we allow the Chazan to kneel by the four times Hakayin Avam Hom de Mazar, because that's part of the Seder HaVoida. He's reenacting how the Seder HaVoida was. But by Aleinu L'Shabeach, that there's a minig that you bow down, that's not a chelik of the avoda, then the shabeach has to do with malchias. Anachnu korim and mishtachem amoidim. So that's a minig. Everybody's mishtachem, but bad enough that we allow the chazan to be mishtachem on the floor when he says okanavam ham the bazara. But many have the minig that you don't allow the chazan to kneel on the floor when he says aleinu l'shabeach anachnu korim. The Rav had the practice that they're not the same type of a hishtachvoa. When you say aleinu, you say anachnu korim u'mishtachavim. So korim, kriya means you kneel on your knees, and your knees are, your leg from the foot to the knee is on the floor, and then you're in standing position on your knee. then you lean over a little bit, and that's called mishtachavim. But when you say akadam ha'am ha'namazah, you say mishtachavim modim enoflam al p'neim. Enoflam p'neim means mamish flat on the floor. So the Rabbi used to say that it's not the same. They quote this in the Ma'aseh Rav, that was a common practice in the days of the Vilna Gaon. When the Chazan said, Aleinu l'shabech, and he said, Ma'anachna karim, mishtachavim modim, they wouldn't kneel all the way on the floor. They would just kneel and lean over a little bit. Means it would mamish lay flat on the floor. They quote the Vilna Gaon didn't think that that was correct. He thought that all the five times it should be the same. But that was the Rav's practice, was like minig that was common in the days of the Gra, that there was a difference between the hishtachva in a karneva am and then hashtachva in the middle of aleinu l'shabeach. Shaila is now a lot of people are going to be davening outside, or a lot of shuls are going to be having quite a few minyanim. So not everybody's going to be davening in the shul. So that's a question. Is there really a minute to do a hishtachva zechel amigdash if you're davening in the gym or you're davening in the parking lot of the shul? The minute was in hakarnavam hamdim ba'azara. Those in the azara would be korei mishtachva m'maydim, v'nofim alpanem. Those who are not in the azara didn't. So we have a minig, like the Rav said, when he lived in Eastern Europe, he never saw the women fall kerem. When he went to Germany to the university, it was the first time he saw that the women kneel on the floor. So he started to wonder, how come we don't do it in Eastern Europe? So he realized, because the women were never in the Azor, the women were in the Harabais. Ezra Snoshim had a din of Harabais, didn't have a din of Azor. And Ishtachva was only a kiyum in the Azara. So just like the women never had a minik to be Karem Ishtachva because it's not Zechel Migdash to them. So today also, if you're going to have a minion outside, a minion in the gym, not in the Beis HaKnesses, the different parts of the Beis HaKnesses are Mechuvin Keneged, different parts of the Beis HaMigdash. So the men who are in the Ezra Skivarim, in the Shul, that's like Zechel Migdash, the men in the Azor. But if you're davening in the gym, I don't think there is any minik to do Ishtachva in the middle of the Seder. You say the Seder Avodah, but I don't think it's a Zechel HaMikdash. To kneel by Aleinu, that's a separate thing that you can do that makes sense, even if you're in a gym. But to kneel on the floor when you're saying a Karneva Am, that's Zechel HaMikdash. That only makes sense if you're davening in the Shul, I'll be Pashtas. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that you should be careful to start Musaf before a half an hour after Chatzos, because once it's a half an hour after Chatzos, it's already Gears Man Mincha. And the Gemara says if it's already time to daven Mincha, you haven't yet daven Musaf, you didn't daven Mincha, then the din is a Torah B'Shein, a Torah, Torah Kodem, you daven Mincha first, and then you daven Musaf. So some Rishonim say that's only B'Chidus. You don't Sidrei the Olam. I can tell all the people in the Shul you should daven Mincha before Musaf. And others say no, even with Tzibur also, you have to daven Mincha before Musaf. So in order to avoid getting involved in this machlokes, and that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Gabbaim should be Mekatzer in the Misha Berachs, and you should tell the Chazan, you should leave out a little bit of Chazaras. I remember once it was getting late, so my father told the Chazan, he can't say Hinani. They used to have a meeting, he said, Hinani, Hani Mimas, took 25 minutes. All Chazanish production. My father said, we have to start davening Mincha now. The Balabatan thought the world is coming to an end. Chaz didn't say Hinani out loud. You don't have to say Hinani out loud. You don't have to say Hinani and Gansan. It's a beautiful meaning. You don't have to say it out loud. So if it's already, if it's getting late, so then you have to, you should abridge the Misha Berachs and so on, the davening, to see to it that you should at least start to daven Musaf Balachash before the half hour after Chatzos. When is the Zman of davening the Ila? So the Yerushalmi says Keshachamba Barosh Ilonis, and the Poskim say half an hour before the Shkia. If you're going to have a few minyanim, you can't have it all in the same location. You can't have all of them half an hour before the Shkia, but you can't daven Nila too early. Nila is supposed to be B'Sof Hayom. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a kula from the Prima Godim. He doesn't argue. He quotes it. He doesn't comment. Prima Godim says, after Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. After Plag HaMincha is already the Zman of Ne'ila. So that's a whopper of a kula. Not everyone is happy about that. If possible, more correct is you shouldn't begin Ne'ila till half an hour before the Shkia. The Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim writes Chiddush that we have a minhag to blow shofar at the end of Ne'ilah. He says even if the chazan finished Ne'ilah in the middle of Ben Hashmashes, still, since the whole prohibition against blowing shofar on Shabbos and Yom Tov is only with the Rabbanan, it's not an Issa Deraisa. Tkiyah shofar is a chachma b'ena malacha. It's not a malacha at all. It's just an Issa Derabbanan mashmiya kol. So the Mishnah Brura says, that's a machlekes hatanaim. That's how we pasken. Something that's only an issa derabbanan. You want to violate it, but makam mitzvah. Here, this is a mitzvah to fulfill the minhag to blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah Brura pasken the hilchos Yom Kippur. You're allowed to blow shofar even during Bein Hashmashes. I don't know if in America we should follow that Mishnah Brura, because a lot of people in recent years have the attitude up. Once they blew shofar, you can only go have a drink of water or have a drink of orange juice. Everybody runs right away to have a drink before Ma'ariv. A lot of people are not going to do Ma'ariv. They're just going to run home. So maybe it's not such a smart idea. But even aside from that, maybe it's not a smart idea. They point out there's a contradiction in the Mishnah Brura. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Brura quotes a Magen Avraham, who has a machlekes, really it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Erevin. It's a machlekes Hachrayim had a paskan. That kula that we do accept, kol davishu mishum shvus, la gozu ala bein hashmashes, so there's a machlekes Rishayim and a machlekes Hachrayim. Is that only the bein hashmashes of entering into Shabbos, entering into Yom Kippur, or even the bein hashmashes of Sof Hayom? So in Hilchos Shabbos, in Chela Gimel and Mishnah Brura, Mishnah Brura is any time you late the Rabbanans, but Makam Mitzvah, Ben Hashmashas is the Ben Hashmashas of Chilas Kenisas HaShabbos, that this man is Becheskas Heter. But the Ben Hashmashas of Sof Hayom, this man is Becheskas Zisar, so then you shouldn't be allowed to do the Rabbanans. And here in Hilchos Yom Kippur, he writes not so. That's what the son of the Chofetz Chaim biography of his father, that's included in the three-volume set of Kol Kisvei HaChavetz Chaim. So he writes that the different volumes of the Mishnah Brura were written by different people in the family. So he says, I wrote this section and my uncle wrote the other section, and that's why there's a contradiction between one section and the other. I was machriya this way about what he need b'chdei she'asu by Yisrael she'asu malocha b'shabbos. I'm like his Rashi and Tosfos. So it's a shayla ha'alocha l'maisa had a pasuk. So every so often, there are contradictions in the Mishnah Brura from one section to the other. So you have to figure out how to paskan. So this is one of the more famous contradictions. Are you permitted to blow shofar Matzah Yom Kippur during Bein Hashmashes based on Kol Davish Yom Mishum Shvus LaGozer Ala Bein Hashmashes? No, but that kula only applies to Kinesis Hayom, doesn't apply to Yitzias Hayom. Should all be blessed with Ksiva Vachsima Tovim, should all be healthy, should be zeichet to do tshuva this year, and to have a better year than we had last year. Tichla Shana V'kidla Seh, Tochla Shana B'cha Seh. A good year.
Amen, amen. Good year.
Thank
you. Amen.
A Gika Ben Shior.
A good year.
How you doing, David? Good. Did you get the email? You got it, right? Okay.
David. Good going, sir. Have a good Gibesh, yeah.
Siva Kasima Tom, all the best to you.
Yeah, Siva, all too.
Okay.
Hello.
All my friends are listening. Good Gibesh, yeah.
It's yours. Yeah.